Good morning, everyone. Great to see you all, whether you're a GBC local or you've popped in for a visit. So wonderful to see you. A real warm welcome to all of you this morning. As Deet said, on Wednesday evening, we've got Dr. Steve Bass joining us for our Marriage Enrichment Seminar. And I see on the list there, many folk have signed up, both from our church and from elsewhere as well. And so I want to encourage you. It's 2 hours of investment in your marriage. And so if you haven't yet signed up, I encourage you to do so. I've been married now to Paula for 20 years, and I still feel like I'm only a beginner. So lots to learn for me, and of course for Paula. So we're going to sign up for that one ourselves, and I encourage you to do so as well. It's going to be a fantastic evening, something well worth investing in. And then just something else that I wanted to mention as well is on the 5th of November, so it's coming up in roughly 3 or 4 weeks' time, we're having a baptismal service. So if you haven't yet been baptized and you'd love to be baptized, I'd count it a privilege to baptize you on the 5th of November and just contact the church office, Jeanette, during the course of the week, and we'll take your name down for those services. But if you've got your Bible with you, won't you please turn with me to the Old Testament, to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 3, and I've entitled this morning's message, Speak, Lord. I thought as we launch into the fourth term, what a great way to begin the term by asking God to speak afresh to us. So 1 Samuel chapter 3, and we'll read from verse 1 onwards. More than likely, as I read the story, you'll recognize it from your days at Sunday school, or maybe your RR class at school. It's a very familiar story, but lots of fresh truth that God's going to reveal to us today. So here we go from verse 1 of chapter 3. Then the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. And it came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. So he ran to Eli and said, Here I am, for you called me. And he said, I did not call you. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here I am, for you called me. And he answered, I did not call my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. Then he arose and went to Eli and said, Here I am, for you did call me. Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, Go and lie down, and it shall be if he calls you that you may say, Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. And so Samuel went and lay down in his place. Then the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, Speak, for your servant hears. Then the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do something in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all that I've spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I've told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile and did not restrain themselves. And therefore I've sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever. So Samuel lay down until morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel was afraid to tell Eli of the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, Here I am. And he said, What is the thing that the Lord has said to you? Please do not hide it from me. God do so to you and also more, if you hide anything from me of all the things that he said to you. Then Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him. And so Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel had been established as a prophet of the Lord. Then the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. And the word of Samuel came to all of Israel. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this incredibly powerful word. It's a word we've heard many times over the course of our lives. But Father, I pray you'll speak to us afresh again this morning from this text. I pray you give us open hearts, open minds, receptive hearts to receive and to respond to your word this morning. For we ask it in Jesus' great and powerful name. Amen. Well, I think we all know that in recent months in our country, we've been experiencing a terrible drought, even here in the Eastern Cape. And thank the Lord for the recent rains that have fallen to alleviate some of that drought. But we know in Cape Town, for those from the Western Cape, that drought still persists. And the farmers are concerned the dams are running dry. And so it's desperate times. But there's another kind of drought that the Bible speaks about that is worse, I would guess, than a physical drought. And that's what we could call a spiritual drought. And it's the kind of drought Amos spoke about way back in the Old Testament, in the book of Amos 8, verse 11. It's on the big screen. You can follow it with me. He says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will send a famine, a drought on the land. Not a famine of bread, nor thirst for water, but of the hearing of the words of the Lord." And so when Samuel arrived on the scene all those years ago, this was exactly the spiritual climate in Israel. In fact, chapter 3 and verse 1 says this, "The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli," and listen to this, "in those days the word of the Lord was rare." But if you do the research, even though the word of the Lord was rare, there was no shortage of religious activity in Israel. We find the tabernacle of God in Shiloh was a busy place. People came for meetings, they came for prayer, they came for singing. All the usual activities were being done in terms of religious activity, but yet the word of the Lord, the Bible says, was still rare. And so, right up front to challenge us this morning, is the word of the Lord rare in our lives? Like them, we have the word of God available, we have facilities available. We have the Bible readily available on our phones, our iPads, our computers. We have different versions. We've got the New International Version. We've got the New King James Version. Neil Mack's got the New Imagination Version. There's so many versions available. But it's possible to have the Word of God at our fingertips as they did in those days, and yet for the Word of God still to be rare in our lives. And so this passage begins in a gloomy note, but it ends on a very positive note. Look at verse 21. Verse 21 says, "The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word, and Samuel's word came to all of Israel." And so the question is, what happened between verse 1 and verse 21? That's what we're going to discover today. It's a story of God speaking to a young boy, and research will tell you the young boy was maybe 12 or 13 years old, so probably Timothy's age, 12 or 13. But through that young boy, revival, renewal was brought to a whole entire nation. And so let's start in verse 2, where Samuel has an encounter with the living God. How many of you know this morning that you can never have an encounter with the living God and ever be the same again? You can never meet God authentically and be the same again. It's impossible. And so that's exactly what happened to Samuel in verse 2. "And it came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, 'Here I am.'" Man, those verses are rich in deep symbolism. The first thing I see is a contrast between old Eli and young Samuel. What do we know about Eli? Well, we know, first of all, he was an elderly man. We know from chapter 4 and verse 18 that he was a heavy man. That's a polite way of saying he was plump. He was overweight. He was a few meals ahead of himself. He was heavy. We know as well from the text he was nearly blind. And so symbolically, Eli represents the spiritual state of his nation at that time. Not a very healthy or happy situation. Under Eli's leadership, the nation had got into a place of spiritual decline. The word of the Lord was rare. Samuel, on the other hand, represents the grace of God that brings renewal, revival, hope, and life. And we know that God spoke to Samuel sometime during the course of the night. I know that because in verse 3 we're told that the lamp of the tabernacle was still burning. That's our clue. The lamp of the tabernacle was designed to burn throughout the course of the night until the morning. And so, more than likely, this whole event took place sometime during the early hours of the morning. And so the scene is set for this encounter that Samuel has with God. And in verse 4, we read, "The Lord called Samuel, and he said, 'Here am I.'" Powerful words. Every time that Samuel heard the words, he responded in exactly the same way, "Here am I." And if you do the research throughout the Bible, you will discover that many people uttered those same words, "Here am I, Lord." You think about Abraham, way back in the book of Genesis. The Lord approaches Abraham. What does he say? He says, "Here am I, Lord." If you want the reference for that one, Genesis 22, verse 1. When God called Moses in the burning bush, "Here am I," Moses responds. Exodus 3, verse 4. And maybe the most famous is when God calls Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6, that dramatic encounter that Isaiah has with God. And God says, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" How does Isaiah respond? He says, "Here am I, Lord. Send me." And so Samuel responds in exactly the same way. He says, "Here I am, Lord." What a great response. When God speaks to you as He will this morning through His Word, I encourage you, make your prayer, "Here am I, Lord." When you open the Bible tomorrow morning to get direction from the Lord, your prayer is, "Lord, here am I." When the Holy Spirit prompts you to help someone, to encourage someone, your attitude is, "Here am I, Lord, I'm available." You see, folks, this is the most incredibly beautiful thing about being a Christian. God's looking simply for your availability. Often we look at our ability, all the things we can do or can't do. God looks way beyond your ability or lack thereof and looks for a heart that says, "Lord, I'm available. No strings attached, no conditions. I'm just a human being. I may be 12 years old, I may be 92 years old, but Lord, I'm available to be used by you." And my heart says to you this morning, Lord, in the context of a dark world where the word of the Lord is rare, "Here am I. Take me, Lord. Use me. Fill me. I'm available to be used by you." What a wonderful attitude. Well, initially we know that Samuel didn't recognize the voice to be the voice of God. That's why he kept going back to Eli, thinking Eli was calling him. And so my question is, why didn't he recognize the voice of God? Well, we're told the answer in verse 7. In verse 7, we read that, "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord." The Message translation puts it this way: "This all happened before Samuel knew God for himself." Now, some of you may be like Samuel this morning. You may find yourself like Samuel did in the very house of the Lord. In fact, Samuel was employed by the church. He was involved in the very DNA of the religious system of that day. He knew the songs by rote. He knew the prayers by rote. He'd heard 100 sermons. He was under the tutelage of the high priest Eli. He was familiar with God. He knew about God, but the Bible clearly says this young boy hadn't yet learned to know God for himself. Friends, what a tragedy that you can spend your life surrounded by religious people. You can sing songs and pray prayers and hear sermons and yet go to the grave having never met Jesus for yourself. So old Eli recognizes something was happening in Shiloh that hadn't happened for many years. The old man recognized that for the first time in many years, God was speaking again. The word of the Lord had been rare, but now God begins to speak. And so he tells Samuel, the next time you hear that voice, your response should be, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And I think that should be our prayer every day. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. As you wake up tomorrow morning, as the sun rises over Ganubi, humble yourself before the Lord and say, "Lord, your servant is listening. I'm available to be used by you." When it comes to making an important life decision, may your heart be, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. I don't want to make this decision without having heard from you for direction and for clarity." I remember at Selborne College as a young man, we used to sing this song over and over in our assemblies. "Where he leads me, I will follow." And I think the second verse said, "What he feeds me, I will swallow." I could have been something along those lines. I can't remember, it was a long time ago. But Ross, you would have loved that. "What he feeds me, I will swallow." That would have been Ross's theme song. But for the rest of us, "where he leads me, I will follow." And so my attitude is, "Speak, Lord. I'm listening. Lord, direction, guidance, wisdom, discernment. Lord, help me to make good, godly decisions. Help me to raise my children in the way of God. Help me to love my wife as Jesus loved the church. Lord, help me to be a man of integrity in the business place. Lord, speak. Your servant is listening. I want to be controlled and led and directed, not by my own human wisdom, but by the words of God. Lord, your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path." It's the word of God that provides my life with direction and clarity. And so Eli says to the young boy, "When you hear the voice again, you say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" Two interesting observations that I get from verse 10. The Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Two things I see from that verse that are amazing. The first is that God calls Samuel by name. The God of the universe, man, the God who calls the stars by name, the God who spoke the universe into being, knows the name of a 12-year-old Jewish boy. And into that context, he speaks, "Samuel." Isn't that beautiful? That God knows your name. You're not just a nameless number, one of 7 billion people living on the planet, drifting through life with God watching you from a distance. No, God knows your name. Joan Reynolds, he sees you, he knows you. Ann Dutton, he sees you, he knows you. He calls you by name. And the Bible says he even knows the number of hairs on your head. Now for some like Nigel, that's not a challenge, but but I just love this. See, often we think of God as a distant God, watching our lives from a distance. Do harder, try better. No, we are introduced to a God who knows the very fabric of our lives. Nothing is hidden from God. He knows your DNA. He knows your hopes and fears. He knows your doubts and your failures. He knows everything that's going on in your heart this morning, and he calls you by name. It's a beautiful thing that shows the intimate love of God for his children. But the second observation, and you might find this interesting, is that often in Scripture, when God engaged on a deep level with someone, he repeated their name twice. So you think about the book of John, where he addresses Simon Peter. "Simon, Simon," he says it twice. In the book of Genesis, "Abraham, Abraham." In the book of Exodus, Moses, and yeah, again in this book, he says, Samuel, Samuel, God has something extremely important to reveal to this young man. Which leads us to our second point. This encounter with God led to an assignment from God. So in other words, the encounter wasn't simply there for the sake of an encounter. The encounter led to a mission. Samuel, Samuel, the encounter, but it led to Samuel doing something of great significance for the kingdom. And here we have it in verse 11. Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do something in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle." Don't you love that? That word tingle. I almost said jingle, but tingle is the same sort of thing. You can just imagine people's ears are, this is so unbelievable. This is so incredible. The word of the Lord's been rare, but now the word of the Lord's becoming revealed again, and there's excitement, there's expectation. People's ears are beginning to tingle. What's God going to say? What's God going to reveal? Well, here comes the assignment. Here comes the revelation in verse 12 to verse 14. Maybe not what people anticipated. Here it comes. "At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons uttered blasphemies against God, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering." Hectic. Here's a boy, 12 years old. He has an encounter with God that leads to an assignment, and God says, "Samuel, this is your message to deliver to your mentor. This is the message to deliver to the high priest of Israel, and you're 12 years old." I try to imagine young Timothy, my boy, who's 12 years old, going to his headmaster at Hudson Park Primary School to deliver a message of this nature. Must have been difficult. And the message was, "Eli, you and your whole family are coming under the judgment of God, and there's nothing you can do to change it." I find that astounding, don't you? This is the high priest of the nation of Israel. He's not an ordinary Joe like you and I. He's the spiritual leader of a nation. He's the one responsible for giving sermons week after week. He's a paid clergy. He's the most unexpected man to receive a message like this. "Eli, you and your whole family are coming under the judgment of Almighty God, and there is nothing you can do to change it." Delivered by a 12-year-old boy named Samuel. If you do the research, you will discover that Eli's sons had blasphemed God. Not only had they blasphemed God, they had rejected the sacrificial system that in those days led to the forgiveness of sins. So even though the dad was high priest, even though the dad was a spiritual leader, they had blasphemed God. And they rejected the sacrificial system that led to the forgiveness of sins. And what had Eli done? Nothing. He had just let them continue in their sinful ways. And so God says, "Eli, you and your whole house will fall under my judgment." My friends, sometimes as pastors, as leaders, as Christians, we need to tell people not just what they want to hear, but what they need to hear. We need to find the balance between love and truth. You see, you could potentially love someone so much that you could lead that person, you could love that person to hell because you never tell them what they need to hear. You never tell them about the cross and about forgiveness and about repentance. You just ignore those hard parts because you love them so much. Or you could earn the side of truth, where you just truth, truth, truth. You become a legalist, a self-righteous Pharisee. And even though what you're saying is true because your heart is wrong, nobody listens to you. We need to find the balance between truth and love. And so the truth Samuel needed to share was that there can be no forgiveness if you reject the means by which forgiveness is offered. That was Samuel's message. God made a way, a sacrificial system for your sins to be forgiven. There's no reason to go to hell. But Eli, you and your sons have rejected the sacrificial system that God gave, and therefore you fall under His judgment. My friends, the same principle applies to us today. If we choose to ignore God, if we choose to write God out of the equation, if we choose to reject the cross, the way God has made for us to be reconciled to Himself, if we try and find a way to make ourselves righteous or good in the eyes of God, we fall under the same judgment as Eli's sons. God has made a way. Look to Jesus. Look to the cross. Honor God. And you'll be making a very, very wise decision. You see, the Christian message is a message of good news. But listen to this. Good news can only be good news if there's also bad news. So think about this. Romans 3:23 says this. For the wages of sin is death. What does that equal? Good news or bad news? Bad news. For the wages of sin is death. My mind says bad news. What about this one? In fact, we actually grow up with this sort of cliche. We're guilty of sin. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Good news or bad news? For me, that's bad news. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. My little mind says bad news. But what about the good news? But the gift of God, and you can put in brackets there, the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That equals good news. So you see, the good news follows the bad news. But if you never present the bad news to someone, they can't receive the good news. How about this one? For God so loved the world. Good news or bad news? Good news. That He gave His only begotten Son. Good news. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. Good news. But the word perish on its own is bad news. I don't want to die. I don't want to be separated from God. So the good news is preceded by the bad news. And we need to find the balance between truth and between love. But it gets better. Verse 19 says this. The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up. And he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. Oh, listen to these words. They are so beautiful. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, recognized that Samuel had been established as a prophet of the Lord. Now, Dan was a town right in the very north of Israel, and Beersheba was a town right in the very south of Israel. So that tells you a whole nation from north to south was impacted by the life of this young man. Isn't that incredible? In our case, it would be from Polokwane to Cape Town. From Pofada to Kenton-on-Sea, from north to south. Can you imagine if South Africa, from north to south, east to west, was impacted again by the Word of God? Can you imagine if revival came to this nation from north to south, east to west? Can you imagine? And my mind says, why not? God, You've done it before. You can do it again. Lord, won't You do it again in our generation, in our time, that we may see churches full to overflowing with men and women who love and honor and follow Jesus, because Your word has become widespread in the nation of South Africa. So you might say, what is the secret to Samuel's success? Good question. Was he a dynamic young man, a charismatic young man, a gifted young man, an influential young man? What was the secret to Samuel's success? Well, the answer is given to us in that first part of verse 19. And it's a very simple secret. It simply says five words. The Lord was with Samuel. There you have it. You might say, Mark, I'm just a very ordinary person. Very normal, ordinary person. Could the Lord possibly use a person like me? He can. The Lord is with you. It's His presence in your life that's going to make the difference. That was the secret to Samuel's success. Not dynamic personality, but simply that the Lord was with this young man. Jesus said, I'm the vine. Listen to these words. You are the branches. Outside of me, you can do nothing. Look to Him this morning. Realign your life with Him this morning. Bring your life back into His submission this morning. Your hope, your confidence, your strength, your success is linked to being found in Him. In Him. Oh, and I love chapter 4 and verse 1. As we wrap it up this morning. And the word of Samuel came to all of Israel. The drought was broken. The word of the Lord was restored. Man, revival came into a nation through one young man surrendered to God. I find this incredibly encouraging. A nation was impacted not by hundreds and thousands of people, but by one young boy, 12 years old, who was surrendered to Jesus. No wonder D.L. Moody said these famous words. He said, the world has yet to see what God can do with one man, one woman, who is fully consecrated to Him. My friends, in a world full of spiritual drought, in a nation full of desperate spiritual need, where the word of the Lord is rare, I don't know about you, I want to be the man. I want to be one of the men. I want to be one of the people who says, Lord, I'm tired of playing games. I'm tired of going through religious meetings and singing songs and praying prayers, but there's no power. There's no renewal. There's no revival. There's no impact. Lord, this morning I bring my life into realignment with Your purposes. Lord, I choose to be a man, a woman like Samuel of no compromise. Lord, when You speak, I say, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. When You speak, Lord, my heart says, Jeremiah, I'm available. Lord, won't You take my life, please? Won't You take my future days? And won't You use me to bring renewal, revival, hope, life to those I work with, to those I live with, to those I play with? Lord, through me, may Your kingdom come. May Your will be done from Ganubi to the ends of the earth. My friends, Ganubi is waiting. This nation is desperately waiting. The world is waiting for men and women who will bring their lives back into a position of consecrated devotion and worship to the Most High God. The world is yet to see what God can do with a man or woman who has a heart after God. May God give you, in your context, the grace, the strength, the courage, the passion to be that man, to be that woman, through the power of God can flow in a way that brings Him great glory and honor. Let's pray. I just want to encourage us now as we just reflect on this word to spend a few moments in quiet prayer. Friends, this is such a critical word as we launch into this term and as we consider the spiritual climate in which we live. These are days of great, great challenge where the word of the Lord is rare. There are people beyond the walls of this building who are walking in incredible darkness, and they desperately need someone to come and show them a different way to live. And maybe you've heard the voice of the Lord speaking to you, like He spoke to Samuel all those years ago. And He calls you by name. Samuel, Samuel. May you respond this morning with a heart of conviction. Here I am, Lord. Make that your prayer this morning. Lord, I'm available. Here I am. For each one of you, God is an assignment. He's got something in store for your life, something for you to do. May your heart this morning be, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Lord, show me what to do. Show me where to go. Show me who to help. Who needs prayer? Who needs love? Who needs encouragement? Who needs direction? Lord, show me what the purpose of my life is. Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. And then maybe the greatest challenge of all is that God has called you this morning to a life of no compromise. This is a critical decision that you need to make this morning. Remember, there's just one life, and it's soon past. Only what's done for Jesus Christ will last. And so I encourage you this morning. Say, Lord, I'm bringing my life back into a place of consecration, devotion, worship before you. Lord, I'm laying aside the things that have distracted me, the things that have sidetracked me, those areas of compromise. Lord, I'm consecrating my life to you. I'm rededicating all that I am and all that I have to you. Lord, take my life and take my future and use me for your glory and for your honor. If that's your heart this morning, my friend, I pray that in you and through you would flow rivers of living water that would bring life and hope and new beginnings and revival to those you come into contact with. Father, this morning we pray that we would see a generation rising up from Gunubi Baptist Church. Men, women, boys and girls who've made up their minds. We will go with Jesus. And Lord, through us may your kingdom come. And may your will be done to the glory of your great name. Thank you, Father. We pray for revival. We pray for rains of renewal and refreshing upon our land. May the word of the Lord once again become widespread in South Africa to the glory of your name. Amen. Amen.